Welcome to Agent Driven Development. Today, Gen AI and the SDLC is infrastructure now, and every one of your engineers pick their own. Four things to know. One, governance builds lasting capabilities. It doesn't just slow developers down. Two, AI software development tools have three parts, but only one truly matters. Three, invest in platforms that offer access to cutting-edge AI models, not maintenance. Four, fragmented tools turn engineers into IT, wasting the real value. Now the piece. Your principal engineers are submitting procurement requests for every artificial intelligence coding tool on the market. One wants the command line interface tool. Another wants the Visual Studio Code fork. Someone else swears the web-based integrated development environment is the future. And Carl is building his own from scratch. You're stalling on all of them because your security chief and legal team have no idea any of this is happening. It is a bottleneck that is costing you more than you realize. If they find out, they will shut it all down. Meanwhile, your college roommate who sold his startup keeps telling you to pick a platform that will grow with your team into 2028 without betting your market share on a venture capital funded company that has not existed as long as that office sublease you're stuck with that sits empty every day since COVID. If that hot startup becomes the winner by 2028, your board will understand when you pivot then. But they will not forgive you for risking the company on unproven infrastructure today. The decision you actually made in 2008 is worth remembering. In 2008, your developers wanted to build the e-commerce platform from scratch. Better performance, perfect architectural fit, complete control. You bought systems, applications, and products and data processing anyway. Not because SAP was better, because your best engineers should not be building shopping carts. They should be building the capabilities that make customers choose you over competitors. SAP was good enough. This freed your senior engineers to work on problems that actually mattered. You did not buy SAP to make developers happy. You bought it so they could stop thinking about infrastructure and start thinking about customer problems. Some engineers complained for 6 weeks. The board promoted you because you shipped. There's a conversation keeping you up at night. Your college roommate sold his startup 2 years ago. Now he invests in generative artificial intelligence companies. He will not stop texting you about artificial intelligence agents in the software development lifecycle. Last week over drinks, he got direct. This is not about picking the best tool today. It is about your team's capability in 2028. You need a platform that grows with your organization, one that is extensible, one that gives you unlimited access to frontier models, because those models are the secret sauce. Then he leaned in. For God's sake, do not bet your infrastructure on some venture capital funded startup that has been around for 18 months. Your board does not want to explain to shareholders why you risk market share on a company that has not existed as long as that office sublease you are still paying for that sits empty every day since COVID. Pick stable infrastructure. If that hot startup wins by 2028, you can pivot then. But you cannot recover the market share you will lose while their platform is down for unplanned maintenance or when their new ownership sunsets the features you depend on. He is right. You have seen this movie before. Hot startups get acquired and immediately pivot their product strategy. Best-in-class tools become abandonware when funding runs out. Infrastructure vendors get bought by larger companies that jack up pricing 400% because they can. Here's what is actually happening right now that nobody knows about. Your senior engineers discovered artificial intelligence coding tools. Each one found their preferred architecture and submitted a procurement request. Your back-end team wants the command line interface-based tool because they live in the terminal and refuse to leave it. They found one from a startup that raised a Series B 6 months ago. It has the sleekest command line experience on the market. Your front-end team wants the Visual Studio Code fork because it integrates perfectly with their existing muscle memory. The company behind it has been around for 2 years and just announced they are rethinking their go-to-market strategy. Your platform team insists the web-based integrated development environment is the future because zero local configuration means zero debugging developer environments. It is built by a well-funded startup everyone is talking about. They have been in business for 14 months. And Carl, your most senior architect, is not asking for permission. He is building his own solution from scratch on nights and weekends because none of these tools understand our specific codebase architecture, and we need fine-grained control over the context retrieval system. Every request makes perfect sense from that engineer's perspective. Every choice maximizes someone's personal workflow preferences. Here is what you know that they do not. You have not forwarded any of these requests to your security chief or legal team. Because the moment you do, the answer will be no to everything while they spend 6 months building a framework for evaluating artificial intelligence tools that will arrive obsolete. Your security chief will see four different security reviews, four different data handling agreements, four different places company, intellectual property could leak, and four different vendors whose security practices they cannot verify because the companies are too new to have track records. They will want to shut it all down. Legal will see three different startups with three different liability clauses written by lawyers optimizing for growth instead of enterprise risk. Three different terms of service that change monthly, and zero confidence that any of these companies will exist long enough to honor their contracts. They will want 12 months to negotiate terms that actually protect the company. Your chief financial officer will look at Carl's project and immediately kill it because it is 6 months of your most expensive architect building infrastructure instead of product features. Your board will ask why you're betting company infrastructure on vendors that have been around for less time than that office sublease you are stuck with that nobody uses anymore. So you're stalling. The procurement requests sit in your queue. You tell engineers you're working on it and building the business case and coordinating with stakeholders. Meanwhile, your engineers are not waiting. The command line interface people are using personal application programming interface keys and charging them to expense reports. The Visual Studio Code people found a trial version and are evaluating it in production. The web integrated development environment team is using the free tier with their work email addresses. Carl is building his solution and it is almost ready for a demo. You know, all of this is happening. You're pretending you do not because the moment you acknowledge it, you have to shut it down or explain to your security chief why you did not. Each engineer optimized for their own productivity. Collectively, they have created ungovernable chaos and you're sitting on a ticking time bomb that gets worse every day you do not make a decision. The anatomy of this technology has settled in 2025, and it is important to understand what it actually means. By the close of 2025, we understand what generative artificial intelligence and the software development lifecycle looks like in production. The architecture has crystallized into three distinct layers. The model layer is the reasoning engine. These are frontier large language models from established providers. This layer commoditized faster than anyone predicted. The models themselves are no longer differentiated. What matters is access to them. Today's best model is obsolete in 6 months. If your platform cannot give you access to whatever model is leading in 2028, you're building on a depreciating asset. Your college roommate was right. Frontier models are the secret sauce, and perpetual access to them is non-negotiable. The toolchain layer is where temporary differentiation lives. This includes semantic search across your code base, context retrieval systems, carefully constructed system prompts, and the orchestration that executes application programming interface calls with the right context at the right time. This is what Carl thinks he needs to build. He is wrong. This layer is already converging toward table stakes. By mid-2026, every serious platform will have comparable toolchain capabilities. The differentiation is not in building better search algorithms. It is in platforms that evolve this layer automatically as the technology advances without requiring your team to maintain it. The viewport layer is how engineers interact with the system. Three patterns have emerged. There are command line interfaces for terminal native workflows, Visual Studio code forks for muscle memory, and web-based integrated development environments for zero configuration. Your engineers are having religious wars about which one matters. They are having the wrong conversation. The viewport is the least important layer because it is the most commoditized. What matters is whether the infrastructure behind the viewport is stable, extensible, and will exist in 2028. The market has bifurcated into two fundamental architectures. Local-first tools, whether a command line interface or Visual Studio Code fork, give engineers maximum control and perfect integration with existing workflows. They also require each engineer to become their own platform administrator, managing configurations, troubleshooting updates, and maintaining personal infrastructure. That is 20% of your most expensive talent doing platform engineering instead of building features. More critically, most local-first tools are being built by startups that are optimizing for product market fit, not enterprise stability. Platform-first tools handle infrastructure invisibly. This architecture provides centralized execution, unified governance, and built-in compliance. Your engineers will tell you these are less flexible. What they mean is that these do not let them spend a day optimizing their setup. What you should hear is that these let engineers focus on customer problems instead of tooling problems. More importantly, platform-first approaches are typically built by companies that understand they are selling infrastructure, not developer productivity experiments. And then there's Carl's approach to build it ourselves. This offers maximum control and a perfect fit for your architecture. It also requires 6 months minimum to production, ongoing maintenance overhead, and permanent lock-in to whatever models you integrate at build time. In 2028, when frontier models are the competitive differentiator, Carl's solution will be using models from 2025. Your board will never approve this approach because it converts your most expensive architects into maintenance programmers for infrastructure you could buy. There's specific math your board actually cares about. Here's what your college roommate understands that your engineers do not. Your board is not evaluating artificial intelligence coding tools based on developer happiness. They are evaluating them based on enterprise risk. The hot startup with the command line interface tool has been in business for 18 months. That office sublease you are stuck with that sits empty since COVID. You have been paying for it longer than this company has existed. If they get acquired, pivot, or run out of funding, you're replatforming while your competitors ship features. The company behind the Visual Studio Code fork that just announced they are rethinking their go-to-market strategy is essentially admitting they have not figured out how to make money yet. Your infrastructure should not depend on whether their Series C closes. The web-based integrated development environment everyone is talking about is built by a 14-month-old company that is burning through venture capital funding to acquire users. Their pricing model will change the moment they need to show profitability. Your chief financial officer will have uncomfortable questions when your artificial intelligence tooling costs increase 400% because your vendor's economics do not work. Carl's custom solution costs 6 months of your most expensive architect's time, permanent lock-in to models from 2025, and ongoing maintenance overhead forever. Your board will ask why you're building infrastructure instead of buying it. Your board wants you to pick infrastructure that will exist in 2028. They want platforms from companies that have survived multiple technology cycles. They want vendors whose economics work without requiring the next funding round. They want stability. And here's the beautiful part. If that hot startup actually becomes the winner by 2028, if they survive, scale, prove their economics, and dominate the market, your board will completely understand when you pivot to them then. We picked stable infrastructure in 2025 when they were unproven, and we are migrating now that they have demonstrated enterprise viability is a story your board loves. We bet our infrastructure on an 18-month-old startup, and they got acquired or ran out of funding or pivoted their product. So now we are replatforming, and we've lost 12 months of competitive velocity is a story that ends your career. There are three things that actually matter when you pick infrastructure that your board can defend and that will exist in 2028. Three criteria matter. First is extensibility without maintenance overhead. The platform evolves with new models, new security requirements, and new capabilities without your team becoming the integration layer. Your engineers should not be debugging toolchain updates. They definitely should not be building the toolchain. They should be building features. This is about your team's capability, not your tooling complexity. More importantly, this extensibility needs to be proven, not promised by a startup that has never had to maintain enterprise infrastructure through a technology transition. Second is perpetual access to frontier models at sustainable economics. In 2028, frontier models are the secret sauce. Your platform must give you access to leading models as they emerge, and the vendor's economics must work without depending on their next funding round. If you pick a startup whose business model requires burning venture capital money to subsidize your usage, their pricing will change the moment they need profitability. If you pick Carl's custom solution, you're permanently locked to models from 2025. Your board wants infrastructure where model access is guaranteed and pricing is predictable. Third is enterprise-grade governance from a vendor who will exist in 2028. Your security chief needs security and compliance from a vendor with a track record. Your legal team needs contracts with a company whose survival does not depend on their Series C closing. Your chief financial officer needs predictable costs from a vendor with sustainable economics. Your board needs to trust that when they ask if this vendor will exist in 3 years, the answer is not probably if their funding holds out. Most tools deliver one of these. The hot startups deliver great developer experience today and massive risk tomorrow. Carl's solution delivers control today and technical debt forever. Your job is to pick the platform that delivers all three and that your board can defend to shareholders. Look at what your competitors are doing. Your competitors are not trying to make every engineer happy with their preferred tool. They made an infrastructure decision, picked a vendor who will exist in 2028, standardized on their platform, and moved on. Their security chief did one security review with a vendor whose security practices have a multi-year track record. Their legal team negotiated one contract with a company whose survival is not in question. Their chief financial officer approved one line item with predictable costs. Their board approved infrastructure from a vendor that has been through multiple technology cycles. Their engineers complained for 6 weeks and then adapted. Now those engineers are not debating command line interfaces versus Visual Studio Code versus web. They are measuring feature velocity improvements. They are reorganizing around eliminating toil. They are focused on customer problems. And when frontier models improve, their platform gives them access automatically because they picked infrastructure that grows with their team's capability instead of locking them into the capabilities of 2025 or depending on whether a startup survives. Your command line interface team is hoping you will approve a tool from an 18-month-old company. Your Visual Studio Code team is hoping you will approve a tool from a startup rethinking their go-to-market strategy. Your web team is waiting on a 14-month-old vendor. Carl is building in secret. You're hoping none of this blows up before you figure out what to do. Nobody is focused on shipping features faster. Everybody is focused on tooling preferences or hiding tooling choices. This is a decision you already know how to make. In 2008, you did not let each developer pick their own e-commerce platform. You did not bet on the hot startup with the best features. You did not let your senior architect build one from scratch. You picked SAP, not because it was the best, but because it was stable infrastructure from a vendor who would exist in 5 years. Some engineers were unhappy for 6 weeks. The board was happy for years. And when better e-commerce platforms emerged later, you could evaluate migrating from a position of strength instead of desperation. In 2025, the same decision is in front of you. Pick one platform that is extensible without requiring your team to maintain it. Pick one platform with perpetual access to frontier models at sustainable economics. Pick one platform from a vendor your board can trust will exist in 2028. This choice should not be because they just raised a Series C, but because they have proven they can survive technology cycles. Pick infrastructure your security chief can secure with confidence, your legal team can contract with without betting on a startup's survival, your chief financial officer can budget for with predictable costs, and your board can defend to shareholders. It does not matter if it is a command line interface, a Visual Studio Code fork, or web-based. What matters is that the vendor will exist in 2028, then make the decision. One platform, one security review, one contract. One governance model, one vendor, whose survival is not in question. Your command line interface people will complain that it is not as sleek as the startup tool. Your Visual Studio Code people will complain that it is not as cutting edge as the two-year-old company's fork. Your web people will complain that it is not as exciting as the 14-month-old vendor. Carl will complain that it does not solve your specific architecture problems. They will all complain for 6 weeks. Then they will adapt and become more productive because they will finally be able to focus on customer problems instead of tooling problems. And here's what you can tell them. If that hot startup they love actually wins, if they survive, scale, prove their economics, and dominate the market by 2028, you can pivot. Then we picked proven infrastructure in 2025 when they were unproven. And we are migrating now that they have demonstrated enterprise viability is a story everyone understands. But you cannot tell your board that we bet our infrastructure on an 18-month-old startup and they got acquired. So now we are replatforming while our competitors ship features. Here's what actually happens next. By 2028, artificial intelligence coding tools will be commoditized infrastructure. The differentiation will not be command line interface versus Visual Studio Code versus web. It will not be which startup had the best pitch deck in 2025. The differentiation will be whether you have access to the best frontier models, whether your platform evolved with your needs, and whether you focus engineering talent on customer problems instead of infrastructure problems. More importantly, the differentiation will be whether you picked infrastructure that existed in 2028 or whether you spent 2026 and 2027 replatforming because your vendor got acquired, ran out of funding, or pivoted away from enterprise. The organizations winning this transition made infrastructure decisions in 2025 that their boards could defend. They picked vendors who survived technology cycles. They picked platforms with sustainable economics. They picked infrastructure that grew with their team's capability. And when models improved, they got access automatically. If a hot startup from 2025 actually became the winner by 2028, these organizations evaluated migrating from a position of strength, not desperation. Moving to the proven winner is a storyboard's love. Replatforming because our vendor failed is a story that ends careers. The organizations losing this transition bet on unproven vendors, or tried to govern four different tools, or let Carl build custom infrastructure, or kept stalling while shadow information technology grew. When their vendors got acquired or ran out of funding, they lost 18 months replatforming while competitors built insurmountable leads. You can make 2% of your organization happy today by approving everyone's favorite startup tool. Your board will ask why you're betting infrastructure on companies that have not existed as long as that office sublease you're stuck paying for that sits empty every day. Your security chief will ask how you're supposed to verify security practices from vendors with no track record. Legal will ask what happens when these startups get acquired or pivot. And in 2027, when half these vendors get acquired or run out of funding, you will explain to your board why you're replatforming instead of shipping. Or you can make your board 100% happy in 2028 by making an infrastructure decision now that delivers measurable business outcomes. That means faster feature velocity, reduced cycle times, engineers focused on customer problems, and unlimited access to frontier models as they emerge from a vendor your board trusts will exist in 2028. You already know how to make this decision. You made it in 2008 when you bought SAP instead of betting on the hot startup with the best demo or letting developers build their own platform. Your college roommate is right. Pick a platform that will grow with your team into 2028 without major risks. Pick a vendor your board can trust. Pick infrastructure with proven stability and sustainable economics. Pick a platform that gives you unlimited access to frontier models without betting on whether a startup survives. If that exciting 18-month-old startup actually becomes the winner by 2028, your board will completely understand when you pivot then. But they will not forgive you for risking market share today on infrastructure from a company that has not existed as long as that office sublease you're stuck with that sits empty every day since COVID. The race is not to pick the tool with the best developer experience today. The race is to pick infrastructure that will exist in 2028 so your team can focus on building capability that compounds in value, not on replatforming because your vendor got acquired or ran out of funding. Make the infrastructure decision, pick the vendor who will exist in 2028. Shut down the shadow information technology, then measure what happens when your engineering organization finally has stable, governed infrastructure that evolves with your needs instead of betting your competitive position on whether a startup Series C closes. Thanks for listening to Agent Driven Development. Find more at agentdrivendevelopment.com.